from Bureaus Worldwide. This is CNA 938 World Report. I'm Jagruthi Dave in Washington.
And I'm Benji Hyer in London. Our top story this morning, the UK's announced sanctions against three members of Myanmar's military over what it calls serious human rights violations. The measures have been taken in tandem with Canada following the coup of February the 1st. And our UK correspondent, Ollie Barrett, says it's not just sanctions that form the latest British response.
London says the latest actions are designed to send a message to the Myanmar military that there will be consequences for its human rights violations. They come into force immediately. In terms of these sanctions, they are being imposed on the Minister of Defence for what the UK says is his responsibility for serious human rights violations by the military. On the Minister for Home Affairs for what the UK claims to be his responsibility for human rights violations by the police force in Myanmar, and on the Deputy Minister for Home Affairs for what the UK says is his responsibility for human rights violations also by the police force in Myanmar. The sanctions will include asset freezes and travel bans. And these moves are related to the response of the military and the police in Myanmar around and since the coup on February the 1st. The UK says that that response has included, quote, violating the right to life, the right to freedom of assembly, the right not to be subject to arbitrary arrest or detention, and the right to freedom of expression. The Foreign Office says it will also, though, put new processes in place to make sure that British businesses are not working in any way with Myanmar's military. It's also taking steps to try and make sure that UK aid funds aren't being diverted to the military in Myanmar, and it'll be withdrawing support for government-led reforms in the country to try and guarantee that British aid is only getting to the poor and the vulnerable. Now, this is all on top of sanctions that the UK had already imposed on 16 individuals from the military in the country. Here's UK Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab.
The United Kingdom will stand up for the forces of democracy and human rights all around the world. And as we're showing today in relation to Myanmar, we will hold to account those who threaten, undermine and attack freedom and democracy.
And Dolly, the UK is not acting alone here.
No, that's right. Canada is taking similar steps in what is a coordinated response. And the UK says that this is all showing that British leadership is taking place in making sure that that international response is coordinated and is strong. London is pointing, for example, to already having organised a G7 statement on the issue, a UN Security Council meeting, a UN Human Rights Council special session this month as well. Whether any of that is making a difference yet is another matter. But the military in Myanmar says that a majority of people back its actions. But protesters were out in large numbers again in the country on Thursday, demanding the restoration of democracy, demanding the release of detained elected leader Aung San Suu Kyi and other officials who've been arrested as well. And we saw, again, police using water cannon to disperse some of the crowds in the capital, Yangon.
That was Ollie Barrett in London. Next today, Facebook has blocked its 17 million active users in Australia from sharing or viewing all local or global news content on the site, in a move strongly condemned by Canberra. Greg Hunt is the country's health minister.
This is outrageous and unacceptable. We expect that Facebook will fix these actions immediately and never repeat them again. This is an assault on a sovereign nation. It is an assault on people's freedom, and in particular, it is an utter abuse of big technology's market power and control over technology.
Facebook's decision comes in response to a proposed law which would force tech giants to pay for news content on their platforms, drawn up by Australian authorities to level the playing field between wealthy tech firms and struggling publishers. The government argues the likes of Facebook should pay newsrooms a fair amount for their journalism, but businesses in Silicon Valley have fought back, insisting the law unfairly penalises them. Google has even threatened to remove its search engine from Australia if it's passed. David Swan, the technology editor for the Australian newspaper, told us what it was like when he logged on yesterday.
all the sort of news feed that you wake up to, and you expect it to be a mix of social media posts from your friends and news from trusted news sources, all that news is gone. Obviously, you're used to news feed being what it is. And what we all learned over the next few hours is that it hit a lot of other organizations too. So a lot of government agencies, a lot of charities, a lot of social groups even were blocked from posting. So we woke up to a very different news feed.
And just give us a background as to how we got here. This row is rooted in Australia pushing for this news code. What's that all about?
Yeah, so the government is pushing, and it hasn't passed the law yet, but that's expected next week. It's called a news media bargaining code. And what that would do is force the tech giants, namely Facebook and Google, to pay news publishers for using their content. Facebook instead has said that they're not willing to play ball, and has for the last 2 weeks threatened to block news in Australia, but they actually did that. I don't know how many people are expecting that to actually happen, but they followed through on their threats and decided that, you know, this law that looks like it will pass in Australia next week, they're sort of getting ahead of that and saying that they're just going to remove news entirely from Australia.
So what's the reaction been to this from politicians and social media companies?
So our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, said today, you know, that we won't be intimidated by the tech giants. I think that Google has contrasted with its behaviour and has signed deals worth millions of dollars with publishers here. And politicians have welcomed that. And that was sort of the intention of this law in the first place, was to just force the tech giants to the table at all and get them to sign deals. And Facebook saying, you know, we're not even willing to come to the table at all, and we're just going to walk away. The politicians, and it's all sides of the spectrum, it's the government, but it's also the opposition party, it's the Greens as well, are all saying that, look, this is not good enough from Facebook.
And going forward, could this set a global precedent?
I think it will set a global precedent, and I think that's why Facebook is taking this so seriously. I think that if, for example, this is limited to the Australian market, they wouldn't mind signing deals and you know, a nominal fee for news. But I think Facebook sees this as an existential threat, where if they agree to paying for news in Australia, that then therefore other countries would follow suit and say, well, you should pay us for news in our markets as well. So I expect this to be a stalemate that exists in Australia for quite some time. I don't think either side's going to back down here.
That was David Swan, the Australian newspaper's technology editor. Coming up, the first 1 million doses of China's coronavirus vaccine are due to arrive in Hong Kong today.
And Japan appoints a woman to head up the Olympic Games after the boss made sexist comments. That's after the news and traffic.